Hello, everyone. Thank you again for joining Dorsey Ross on this episode of The Dorsey Ross Show. In this episode, Dorsey interviews another special guest that will give you hope and inspire you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you again for joining me on another episode of The Dorsey Ross Show. Today, we have a special guest with us. His name is Julio. And we, met just on social media, and he gave me a little overview of his testimony. And I was like, man, that's such a strong testimony and a strong, story of what you have overcome in your life. I'd love for you to come on the show and to share your story with us. So today we have Julio, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for agreeing to come on and share your story with us.
It's a pleasure to be here. I love what you're doing with the show. And again, we're working for the kingdom. So sharing testimony is the minimum we can do to help others who are going through similar situations and showing them the power of God for his glory.
Amen. Now, where are you from, Julio?
I'm from Brazil. I'm from Rio de Janeiro, but now I'm living in Germany here because I got married, got a daughter, and we're living here right now.
Nice. Well, tell us your story about what you have, overcome in your life and where God has, where you were and where God has brought you to.
Okay, perfect. So let me give you an overview of how I actually came to the faith in the first time, and then I tell you the transformation that happened afterwards. Because I grew up in the Catholic Church, my mom was forcing me to go there and do the Sunday school and the Eucharistics and all that. But to be sincere, I had never experienced God. And when I was 12 years old, my dad had his third brain stroke, and it was really bad. And we were in a big city, but my brother wanted to transfer my dad to a hospital in a smaller city via helicopter, just to be closer to him. And that thing, I knew how much my dad was afraid of flying, and I felt like if my dad goes into this helicopter, he's gonna have another stroke, he's gonna die. So I got desperate. I was freaking out, and my mom couldn't calm me down. My grandma couldn't calm me down. Nobody could calm me down. So my grandma said, "Oh, let me." My grandma, being a Pentecostal member, she took me to a Pentecostal prophetess, and she prayed over me. And she said, during her prayer, sing this night for the Lord, and the Lord's gonna take over it. But that was before internet, so there was not much websites I could go on to pick up those musics. I did not know any Christian music by then. But my grandma, by mistake, because she forgot actually. She forgot one lyric from her church that week. And it was a song about, if I translate to English, it would be like pretty much like, make it rain, open the gates of heaven, make it rain. It's saying it as if for blessings. But my grandma taught me how to sing that song, and I sang the whole night crying like crazy. And this is a summer day, which was supposed to be the next morning when my dad would be flying. It was supposed to be clear sky, and it became a rain so heavy that the pilot said we cannot take off with the helicopter. It was like super rain. Like, I never seen anything like that in Brazil, and that's when I came to believe. So I left the Catholic Church, started going to a Pentecostal, a new Pentecostal actually, because I was also into surfing, so went on a surfer church pretty much, and I was there, but as a teenage boy, you start getting, like, you know, those hormones coming in, and that struggle, because I don't want to sin, but my body forces me to sin, or so I thought, and I had this struggle. So I started saying, no, like, I cannot just get fed with what I listen to the pastor telling me once a week. I need to get more. So start reading the Bible. And I started reading, like, from the beginning. So we went to Genesis, Exodus, and then it came Leviticus and Numbers. Numbers, I guess. Okay, Numbers. And it became super hard for me to understand. So I decided, oh, you know what? Let me just jump to Revelations and again, just at the end. But then it's also a very complicated text for someone who is 15, 16. I don't remember what age I was back then, but around that age. And then I said, I'm not going to read the Bible anymore. I'm just going to keep with the pastor. And that was all good. And I was still struggling with my sin, but I was still going to church. That until I got 18. Got 18, went to college. You know, went partying. Say, like, oh, the church sounds far away because I moved cities. And I want to find another church. The same church. If I go to, take about an hour. So I'm not going to church. I still believe. And that's the problem. Because since I wasn't reading the Bible, since I wasn't getting the Word of God, like, I was very easily influenced by other people. And there's right. This movement that says that God is love, you know? Oh, God is love, God is love. As long as you don't do harm to others, it's okay. So I start thinking about that. It's like, what is the harm with me hooking up with someone, like going out every night? And I start doing that. And I start going further and further away from God and closer and closer to sin. So I start doing more and more things. And my life was like that for like 5, 6, 7 years. And then I got married, my daughter was born. And once my daughter started, like, growing up, and it starts, like, oh, when my daughter was born, actually, was not a miracle that showed the power of God. Because my wife started bleeding with 6 months into the pregnancy. She stopped bleeding a lot. And we went to the hospital, desperate. And I didn't know what was happening with our baby. So I was desperate and I went on the floor and started praying in the middle of the hospital. And fortunately, nothing bad happened. It was like something bad, but nothing terribly bad. So on that day, we were living in another country here, which is about 3 hours drive. So it's not a big drive. So we picked up I picked up pretty much the whole thing that we had in the rental apartment, and we came to my mother's-in-law here in Germany because it had a better healthcare. And I fit the whole house that we had, all our belongings, in the car with my wife, and I was driving with all my driver license, which had expired, and I couldn't get a German driver license yet. And driving through the night, and we got here, we got to the hospital, and the doctor said, we need to give this injection for the lungs of your daughter, and we need to rush your wife to the hospital. So we to another hospital because the hospital here couldn't get the labor. So we went there to they took her in the ambulance. I had to unpack the car and driving like a maniac in the middle of the night to the hospital. And our daughter was born. On technical terms, would be like 27 weeks old, so like 3 months earlier, and she was in the incubator, and that already shook my being and started like planting the seed. God started planting the seed again on my life because I was so nervous. I started approaching him more often, but nothing had changed much spiritually speaking. Until a couple years later, when we were having some financial struggle, and I said, "Oh, you know what? Might be good for me just to check if my old church had live streaming." just want to check to see if, like, I can watch a sermon or two. It might help me with our troubles here, just to calm down, etc. And I started watching, and God started touching me again and talking to me again, to the point that I was, yeah, I need more of this. So, and I wasn't forcing my wife on anything. I was just watching every Sunday. And then I started researching more because I love studying. You can see behind me, like, I have a lot of books, so I love reading. So I started going more this time in the Word of God with a older mindset, so I could be studying more and understanding more, and have now the benefits of YouTube videos to people explaining. And a few months after I converted, like a month and a half or two, actually, my wife, which was totally into the New Age stuff, she decided to go into poetry, and she wrote a poem, and she asked me, "Oh, what do you think about it?" I was traveling. I was doing a TEDx talk in a city like 2 hours from here, and I remember I was in the hotel room, and she said, like, "What do you think about this poem?" And it was about civil courage and speaking up. And then she wrote, like, "This is not the time to give the other face." Talking about the passage of Jesus, like, you know, you need to give the other face, the other cheek. And I said, like, that's not what it means, Claudia. I studied this subject a little bit. It means this thing here. And that installed in her the curiosity to research more, to try to disprove me. And she ended up disproving me. But it got her started in her faith. And we started going to church together. That's when we're also looking for the right church for us to go here, because we live in a small town. There was like four or five different churches only. And then I start seeing, like, wait a second, what is going on? Because there's so many different denominations. Like, what are they struggling? What is the difference in terms of their beliefs and all that? And there's also one that was a Seventh-day Adventist that I started going to. And together with me reading the Bible, I started realizing, wait a second. Actually, even in Acts, the disciples and Paul and everyone else, they were keeping the Saturday. They were keeping the biblical Sabbath. Even after Jesus resurrected on the Sunday and all that, they were keeping the Saturday. It was like, But Jesus said that the law is over, because I started reading the thing that they say, oh, Jesus fulfilled the law. And I started researching that. I was like, no, he was actually saying that we should do more. He made the law harder on us by saying it's not only you shouldn't cheat on your wife, but you shouldn't even look at another woman lustfully. Like, he made it heavier. And I was like, oh, that's going to be really hard. Like, I keep, like, the law became heavier when Jesus came. But I'll say, like, you know what? Out of love for God, out of love of what God has done to my life, I'm going to try. I'm going to, like, this time when I come to God, I'm not going to be like when I was a teenager, which was pretty much always asking of God stuff. Because God has been blessing me from the 12, when my dad had the stroke, until 15 years old. God was like, because I was always praying. I was so afraid of my dad dying. I was always praying for God to keep my dad alive. Until, and that caused a lot of suffering for me, for my mom, for my dad. Especially my dad was like really big scars all over his body because he was laying in bed. There was one time that I was so fed up with my dad. I was suffering so much. I always have to go to the hospital, stay a week, and then come back. That I actually, when he went to the ICU for the third or fourth time, I went down on my knees and I said, God, please take my dad. I don't want him to suffer anymore. I finally got over my egoistical self, and I prayed for the good of my dad, for his relief. And on that same night, he died. And I never felt so peacefully when I saw him dead. Not because I hated him, but because I loved him.
Right. You didn't want him to suffer anymore.
Yeah, there was no suffering. There was no, like, this. I'm getting even emotional when I remember. Let me recompose. I was relieved by, seeing that he got away. He stopped suffering. As that the Bible now I know that the Bible says, like, better those who were already dead than those who are alive, and better yet those who were not even born. And back then I did not know this passage, but I understood, because my dad was better off, like, sleeping than suffering. And this time when I came back to my faith, I was saying, like, you know what? I'm gonna let God do His will. Every prayer I do now, I almost always, if not always, I say, let your will be done. This is what I would like, but then let your will be done. Do not put my wishes ever above your will, Lord. Because I know you love me and you care about me, but please, I'm stupid. I realize that I don't have the knowledge of God. So I might pray for something, God might, like, do it because He loves me, but that might be worse for me. So I always pray now for His will. And I was like, what is His will for my life? And where can I find it? And I started reading God's law. And when I see the life of Jesus and I'm reading the Gospels, I see, like, in no moment He said, like, hey, don't keep the law. And He was actually saying, keep everything. You know, you want to know what you do? Go back to the 5 books of Moses, read it. And keep it, and don't be just like the Jews, because the Jews, like, you know, they have the same Bible as we have, the Old Testament, they have it, but then they have the Kabbalah and the Talmud, which is always like putting laws to God's law. Like, I cannot turn on my light on a Saturday. I cannot do this or that. And as Jesus says, the law of God is not burdensome.
Right.
It has to be light. We need to keep it for our own benefits. If we take a look at fasting, for instance, fasting is a great spiritual tool, but science nowadays shows that it is also great for health benefits. And who knows? Maybe God is the creator. Like, He has the structure manual. Maybe He's saying, like, hey, fasting is good for you. And He said just that. And we're trying to think about, oh, no, I don't like fasting, etc. But now science comes and says, hey, it actually is good. You know? Well, the more knowledge we have on everything, the more science evolves, the more proof we have from God, that God did everything with reason. Like, even with the Red Sea crossing, now science can prove that a wind 67 miles per hour can make that crossing if it hits on the right point. So even though God can make things supernatural, most of the time He doesn't choose to make it supernatural. He's like, as we're evolving, as we're getting knowledge, we see that He does those things for a reason. It is for our own benefit. And it is incredible how much easier it becomes. Because I was a workaholic. Not having to work one day. Oh, you can ask my wife. I was super nervous. I was like, my business is gonna be destroyed. I'm working 7 days a week and I'm struggling. I'm gonna take one day off. I'm lost. But then I say, I'm gonna trust God. Man, my business skyrocket. Like, why? How? I have no idea. I was working less and I was being more effective and doing the same thing. It's not that I changed any strategy. And I decided, oh, I'm not gonna eat unclean meats, which unclean meats is like pretty much pig and let's just say pig to make it easier, like snakes and things, other exotic foods. Can I eat anymore? I choose not to eat anymore because of what God tells me. And I thought, I can never survive without bacon. Like, it's so delicious. And then I found out about beef bacon, and it's 10 times better. No joking. If you look for a butcher who has beef bacon, try it out. It is delicious. It is amazing. And I was always picky with my food. I always, like I say, I was joking, I'm always carnivore. I cannot be a vegetarian ever. I'm a carnivore. I like meat. But once when I was taking a plane to go see my family in Brazil, I decided to put kosher meal just so I don't have to worry about being picky with the food and etc. It was kosher. Not that I care about the label kosher, just that I don't have to worry about the things. And then it came a food that was pretty much vegetables, especially broccoli. I'm not gonna eat it. No, but I had the food here, and then I started tasting it, and my taste buds changed the way that, like, now I love broccoli. I buy broccoli in my house here. I got addicted because, like, I trust God, and I try to keep His law. And as I said in the beginning, when I was a teenager, I was struggling with pornography and the sexual desires of any teenager. And as any other adult, even when you're an adult, you're still watching pornography because it becomes an addiction. But once I read Sermon on the Mountain, it says about just the thinking of it is bad. And then I went back to Genesis where Judas was talking about his son spilling the seed and not fulfilling his marital requirements with his brother's ex-wife because his brother died, etc. And I connected those two together, and never again I got tempted with pornography. And look how great God is. I never had a phishing scam before. Phishing scam is when someone sends the email from your... they find an exploit in the server account, and they send an email from your own email saying that they hacked your computer. And they recorded videos of you doing something that you shouldn't be doing in a pornographic website. And that was about 6 months after I stopped. And they sent me this email saying, hey, for the last couple of months, we've been recording you, etc. You have to send me $1,000 in bitcoins, otherwise you're going to share with your whole business contacts. And I was like, wait a second, I haven't done anything. I know this is not true. So you have no idea how relieved I felt. Because it was my business email. And that's when I found out about phishing scam. And I got concerned, of course, saying, like, hey, they got access to my email. But then, there's another way hackers do that, that they don't need the access to the email to send as your email. And I was like, see, if I wouldn't have followed God's law, if I wouldn't have obeyed Him, I would have gotten this email, which would be a fake thing. They would have recorded anything, but I would have the guilt on me, and I would end up paying losing a lot of money, and so I went to the police just to do the thing to see if they can catch those hackers. But I was calm, and whenever I heard those people talking about those things before, I was so worried, like, oh, hope this never happened to me, never hurt me. And now it became popular. Everybody get those things in their business emails, and I don't have to worry. And that's the best feeling when, like, I don't have to worry. Like, as a husband, like, before I got married to my wife, with my other girlfriends, I always was cheating on them. And I was always cheating on them, and I was always worried about getting caught. With my wife, I never have to worry because I never cheat. Right. It's so much peace of mind. The burden becomes so light. And that's when I finally understood, like Jesus said, my burden is light. The yoke is light. Because, yeah, you still have to have the yoke, and you still have to carry your own cross, but it becomes lighter because, not because of the things we have to do, but because of everything else. When we do the things that are right, everything else, it becomes a non-problem. Amen. So that's my story in a very short way. I had other experience. I had experience where talking about actually being light and not being worried about anything. When I was 18, I just got my driver license, which in Brazil is 18 when you get it. And I did a 6 hours car ride in the middle of the mountains to go to my winter house. And that house, when I was about 20 miles from there, it was raining again. A big rain, and a truck before had spilled oil on the road. Okay. In the middle of the curve. So I got the oil, I got out of the road, got a little bit of mud on the tires on the right side, and my car starts swerving everywhere. And I, in the middle of this thing, I couldn't think what to do. I couldn't find a solution, because on one side would be a big mountain, and on the other side, the end of the mountain, which would be a big cliff. So I just held on to the driving wheel and said, "Lord, like, it's up to you. Decide what you do to my life. I trust my life on you." My car hit on one side of the road, start flipping 3 times, and on the time that it stopped, my car was right on the verge of the cliff. It did not have any damage. Like, it had minor damage, like scratches and things like that. There was a bump on one of the passenger side. There was a little bit the thing, but there was no major change. I actually was able to sell the car for get it fixed and sell for more than I paid. And God, like, protected me, like, literally a few inches from the cliff. And I was so calm that doing the flip, I was like, I don't know where it came from, but I was holding the wheel, and I was like, woohoo! As I was flipping, I was thinking, like, this is like a roller coaster. And after that, some cops start, and they had to come to fill the report and everything, and to help me out. And the cops were like trying to extort money out of me because it was a new driver, saying that it was my fault and etc. And I start joking with them, and they took they had to take pictures for the report. I say, like, "Oh, I'm gonna take pictures as well. You cannot be the only paparazzi." I was so calm, even though I had a near death experience because of this moment of God with me. For unfortunately, when I was 18, I was too young for understanding that. I ended up going to for a bad road afterwards. But there was a sign of God saying, "Hey, stay with me. I take care of you." And so many other times, when I'm struggling with something, I pray, and normally God resolves very fast or calms me down very fast.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, welcome. How God worked like that, you know, and like you were saying, when you're younger or even as an adult, you know, we battle, and you know, Romans 7 talks about that. He talks about, you know, between the battle between the spirit and the flesh, you know, and that, you know, normal thing, how we, because we're all sinners, we deal with that, and we need to, you know, just to think about, you know, things that are pure, things that are, you know, good, things that are healthy in our life.
Exactly. And like prodigal sons, sometimes we swerve away, but he, like a good shepherd, he brings us close, and it is amazing, his love for us. I cannot understand. Like, I mean, I have a daughter now, I love her, and I'm starting to understand that, but, like, I cannot, because the ways I behave, the things I did in the past, like, God still loves me. I see so many things I did wrong, let's say. I was, like, against him. I was offending him in several things, in several ways. Not directly offending, but, like, through my actions, through my breaking his laws, like, how offensive it is. And still he loves me. And it's like, it's a very, very patient father, and he loves us all in a way that, like, is hard to believe. It's right. Amazing. And that's why I love keeping his commandments, because it is, like, it's the minimum I can do to God. It's so amazing, you know? He could just punish me and say, like, okay, you go live your crazy life, and I gave you the opportunity before. But no, he's like, keeping, like, coming back and loving, and that is amazing. That's it's hard to describe.
Yeah. Now, as we end, is there anything else that you want to talk about? Or, you know, I usually ask in my guests if they want to say something encouraging to those that are listening as well. Just, you know, a couple of sentences to encourage the guest today, or those that are listening today.
Like a final message. So many times in life we think the things are complicated, and it doesn't feel like we have a way out. We don't have a instruction manual for this life, but we actually do. God wrote his words here in the Bible. We can, like, read those words. We can understand it and seek the Lord. And it's the owner's manual. We have everything there. And so even though there might not be things that you're, situations that you're passing through right now, there are situations very close to that in the Bible. And if you read it, if you try to understand it and try to remove every filter you have and try to read it with seeking the knowledge of God instead of, like, oh, how can I twist this passage to my benefit? So I try to do that, but instead of, like, what actually does it say? And what actually do I have to change? If you do that, things are going to come your way. Things are going to, God is going to show you show himself to you, because that's how he chose to have it. That's his message to us. And if we follow his instruction manuals, if we pray to him and have a relationship with him, no problem is too big.
Amen. Well, thank you, Julio, for coming on the show again today. I greatly appreciate having you and you sharing your story.
Thank you, Lars. Have a good day.
All right. Well, guys, thank you again for joining us and for coming on and listening to this episode of the Dorsey Ross Podcast. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you again for joining Dorsey Ross on this episode of The Dorsey Ross Show. Please like, share, and tell others about the show. Also, please check out the other podcast episodes. And if you would like, donate to this podcast and buy Dorsey a coffee. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.